Found on page 806 in your chair Bibles, if you want to use that, or it's found on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. Found on page 805 in your chair Bibles. 806, sorry. 8, chapter 1 to 15. Paul writes, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in the complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. The word of the Lord. Have you ever been somewhere and doing something, watching something, or having a conversation with somebody, and you just weren't really engaged, like this Willy Wonka here? So I'm like, oh yeah, I'm here, but I'm not here. You know, there have been times when I've been at home eating dinner, talking with Rachel, and, you know, just what she's saying just flying completely over my head. You get to the point in the conversation where the talking stops and you realize that you were just asked a question and you're like, uh-oh. Do I say yes? How does it make you feel? It's not a really good feeling to be caught being disengaged from where you're supposed to be in the present moment. It surely doesn't make the other party feel valued or wanted or that you care about what they're doing or what they're saying. You know, sometimes the week before I'm going to preach, like this week before, my mind is constantly engaged with this text for Sunday that I create this dense wall around my brain that everything else that comes just kind of shoots out like an arrow. Rachel can tell you about how that is the week before. You know, when your heart isn't in something, it shows. Maybe you can't tell, but the people around you certainly can. And it can deeply hurt those around you. So how does God feel about how you're engaged with your relationship with him? When you're spending time with God and his word or in prayer, are you really in it? Or when you come here on Sunday morning to worship together as the body of Christ, is your heart in it? We think we can get away with just doing the bare minimum so many times, doing or praying or reading or giving just enough so we can just slide easily into heaven. Today we're talking about a pretty personal issue today, something we usually like to keep private, topic we don't like being told what to do with. You guessed it. It's our giving, our money, finances, possessions. But if we seriously want to become engaged with our relationship with God, then our giving is going to reflect that. Your giving must engage your heart. But maybe you think, well, how do I know if my heart's engaged in my giving? Or how do I get my heart engaged in my giving to the Lord? The text today helps us to understand three ways which we can test ourselves to measure our giving, not simply by a number, but by our hearts. In this passage, we'll look at three aspects of giving that will engage our hearts. Number one being sacrificial giving, two, enthusiastic giving, and three, willing giving. So let's take a look at number one, sacrificial giving. Some background here to this text might be helpful. Chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians is one of the longest passages on giving in the Bible, and certainly the New Testament. Paul was writing to this church of Corinth, which he had planted, asking for a freewill offering for the people in Jerusalem. Now, Judea, the region where Jerusalem was located, had experienced a series of crises over a number of years. They were having a famine, and there was persecution. So the Jerusalem church was very destitute. They were very poor. Paul had already been involved in bringing monetary gifts from Antioch to Jerusalem before, and now, the second time, he's asking for churches to be generous to their brothers in Jerusalem. In the latter half of Acts, we see Paul actually carrying this out. He brings the gifts that the churches had raised up to bring to Jerusalem, where he was eventually arrested. So in this chapter 8, in these text verses here, we see two examples of sacrificial giving. Look first at verse 1 to 3. Paul says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability." You see, in their extreme poverty, in their destituteness, God welled within them this desire to still be generous. You would think that being poor, and I'm not talking about they were late on their car payments or trying to save up to buy, you know, upgrade their house or car. They were poor, impoverished, destitute. Rock bottom poverty, it uses in the Greek. You would think that that would have been a good enough excuse to not give away money to this freewill offering, or to use what resources they had to help them get out of this situation of poverty that they were in. But notice the key word that Paul uses in verse 1. Before he gets anything about giving, Paul says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given." The sacrificial giving of the Macedonian church was motivated by the grace of God that they had experienced. Paul calls then on another example of sacrificial giving. This one found in verse 9. Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." You see, Jesus Christ was in a very different place than the Macedonian church when he was generous. Jesus was experiencing the utmost wealth and splendor and glory and honor of heaven. He was rich. He had everything at his disposal. But he gave all of that up, it says, to come down to earth as a man, and then even gave up his life for us so that we might become rich through his poverty, it says. But look before that, it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to us motivated Jesus to be generous. He sacrificed everything, eventually his own life, so that we could become rich in him. You see, in the poverty, the heart of the Macedonian believers were for God. It was evident to Paul. It was evident to those around. Because motivated by grace, they sacrificed their resources because generosity had welled up within them. And Jesus was rich, and because he wanted your heart, he willingly gave up everything, it says, so that we could find our wealth in him. A heart that is engaged in our giving is a heart that sacrifices. There's an interesting little story from a book called Plastic Donuts. I meant to hold it up again the second service, but I forgot to get it again. I would highly recommend the book, and it came recommended for me by Pastor Gary. And when Pastor Gary recommends me a book, I usually try to read it as soon as I can. And I read it as I learned I was going to be preaching today on giving. And in this little book, about 100 pages, there's a little story, whether it's true or false, I'm not sure, a story about John. John was this 26-year-old successful man who was working in a technology company. He was pretty satisfied with his $85,000 a year salary. He enjoyed his $1,500 per month apartment near the mountains, and his new Subaru Outback that he had just purchased, which he made sure to get one with the rack for his mountain bikes. Of course, John is also excited about spending his life with his new bride-to-be, Amy. When Amy saw that little red velvet box that John pulled out of his pocket, she got excited. Imagine the size of that diamond that my boyfriend brought me, she was thinking. But when she opened the box, her reaction changed. She tried to not appear disappointed. And when she learned that John had only spent $250 on this ring for her, she was insulted. Amy's not a materialistic person by any means, but she was sobbing, asking John, "Do you really love me? Is this what I deserve?" John was embarrassed and then a little offended, saying, "It's not the amount that I spend that matters. It's the heart that counts." Uh-oh. He's going to regret saying that one. So what do you think about John's gift for Amy? Or about his statement, "It's the heart that counts"? Do you think his heart was really engaged when he bought that gift for his bride-to-be? If he was making maybe $800 a year, or even $8,000, a $250 ring would really cost him. John, though, was unwilling to sacrifice his luxurious lifestyle to communicate his love for his new bride-to-be. So we think, yes, the amount does matter. I mean, a $250 ring costs him nothing. We would expect maybe a $2,500 ring for his financial situation. But then how about when we give to God? Does the amount matter? Jesus looks at the amount that we put in, but he looks more at what the gift cost us to give. You see, Luke writes that as Jesus looked up in the temple, he saw the rich bringing in their gifts to the temple treasury. But Jesus also saw this poor widow who threw in two very small copper coins. And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." You see, the sacrificial gift of the widow meant more than the unsacrificial gifts from the wealthy. God always sees the heart in our giving. Now, I want to get a little practical here and do a little exercise. So I want you to get something that you can write on. Maybe you have a bulletin, or maybe there's a paper in front of you. And I want you to also grab a pen. Something to help us measure now and reflect later about our giving and test whether this is sacrificial. So with a pen and with a paper in front of you, I want you to think and try and remember how much money you spent on your Christmas gifts this past year. I know it's getting to Christmas, so you don't really, it's probably a long time ago. But how much money did you spend on your Christmas gifts this past year? And now I want you to think about your personal travel and your vacations that you did this past year. Your personal travel and your vacations, how much money you spent on those. And write that number down below the first number. And then I want you to think about how much money you typically spend eating out per month. If you know per month and times it by 12, if you know per week, times that by 52, how much money do you spend eating out per month in a year? And then I want you to write that third number down below the other two. Now I want you to write down the number that you gave to God, to the church, to missions, to other gospel-centered Christian organizations. Write that number down then below the other three. And I want you to look at each of those three numbers that you have in front of you. What are they? How do they compare with one another? Now imagine God being with you, like Amy was with his bride, John. Would God be excited about that gift, that number, that fourth number that you wrote down? Would you be excited to tell God, "Hey, look at what I gave you. I sacrificed for you, God"? Or would you be slightly embarrassed about that fourth number? You see, we have this concept of giving that as long as we give maybe 10% of our income to God, that's what he wants. But this comes from only 2% of passages in the Bible that talks about giving to God as 10%. And actually, the average American Christian gives away 2% of our money away. Does 2% engage our hearts in our giving? Does 10% engage your heart in your giving? For you, maybe 10% really is a sacrifice. It costs you to give. What you have left over is just barely enough to live on. So like the widow, God sees your sacrificial gift and he is pleased with that. But if 10% isn't a sacrifice for you, if it doesn't get your heart engaged in your giving, then does God look at that and is he pleased with that 10%? When we throw in some change in the offering as it goes by, does that really engage your heart in your giving? If we want our hearts to become more and more engaged in God's heart, then a fixed percentage for the rest of our lives isn't going to cut it. Paul writes, excel in the grace of giving, just as we try to excel in faith, in knowledge, in our love. We are commanded to excel in the grace of giving. Sacrificial giving will affect our lifestyle. It affected the lifestyle of the widow. It surely affected the lifestyle of Jesus, who gave up his wealth to come down to earth. But it will get our hearts engaged in our giving. You see, when the grace of God is our motivation for giving back to him, then it won't become a burden anymore. It will become a lifestyle, because we're truly wanting to delight the heart of the Father. So have I pushed any buttons yet? I have for me. Engaging our hearts in giving and doing so and thus delighting God isn't just about the sacrificial giving, but it's also about, number two, enthusiastic giving. Enthusiastic giving. Look at verse 3b and on. Paul writes, entirely on their own, they, the Macedonian church, urgently pleaded with us for this privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. Can you honestly say that you've ever seen someone beg to be involved in giving? Oh, please, please, take all this away from me. You see, the Macedonian church was not reluctant in their giving. They didn't do it begrudgingly. They pleaded for this opportunity to be involved in pleasing the heart of the Father. They enjoyed giving. It brought joy to their hearts. Because their motivation was grace that they had already received from God, of course, they were willing to give away what God had already given to them. You see, enthusiastic giving is giving that involves our emotions. I'm not saying you have to throw a party every time you write that check or, you know, give online or something like that, balloons and whatever. But a heart that is engaged in giving will give enthusiastically. It was amazing. When we were in Guinea this past January, they do actually throw a party when it's time to give the offering. They put it in the front and everyone kind of dances down the aisle. I'm not a really good dancer, so I'm not doing it very well, but they throw a party when they get to give to the Lord. And they're truly giving out of their poverty there in Guinea. You know, one of the best parts about going to a sports event or a concert or something with like a lot of crowds is a free set that they give away. Have you guys ever caught anything from like a baseball game or concert or anything? I love it. I seriously love that part of the concert or game. You know, it's amazing to see when they're saying, okay, we're going to give away these free t-shirts, the hands that go up. People start dancing and cheering, holding up the signs, like everyone gets really loud because we get excited about getting something free, right? I mean, I might push you over if I see the ball coming towards you, you know? You see, we get enthusiastic with this opportunity to receive or to get. It makes us do some pretty crazy things like jump around and dance. But what about when we have opportunity to give to God? Does joy well up within our hearts when we get to give our Heavenly Daddy a present? Here you go. When we give to God, we get to show him that he's still in our hearts, that he's still in our affections. Does that cause you to jump and dance? We ask questions, and I've asked them before too, like, how much am I supposed to give? Or what's the right amount or percentage that God wants from me? But I've never heard a question like, how many minutes am I supposed to pray? Or how many chapters am I supposed to read in the Bible? Imagine if I asked Rachel, and just to clear it, I got permission for all these stories. Imagine if I asked Rachel, hey, honey, how much are you expecting me to spend on you this Christmas? I mean, are you thinking you want the shirt and the bag or just the bag? Or you think I'd get a response like, oh, maybe $200 this year would be good. Or maybe a look of annoyance. So why do we always ask God, God, how much should I give you? Maybe the question that we should be asking instead is, how much dare I keep for me? Instead of maintaining a status quo with God, why not become more enthusiastic with your giving? Don't limit yourself to a percentage. Don't ask God, what are your expectations for me? When you give, give enthusiastically, raising the bar on what you're able to do, taking this opportunity to express your heart and delight in the grace of God. Enthusiastic giving delights God because it engages your heart when you give. Lastly, willing giving engages our hearts. Willing giving. Verses 10 to 12, read that with me. Paul writes, and here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. He writes, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. So God doesn't take your gift or compare your gift of, say, $200 with someone who's given $2,000 and look down on, why did you only give so little? But he sees that amount from what you've given from. In other words, did you willingly give a portion of your paycheck away, of your income, that engages your heart when you give it? Or are you missing an opportunity to truly delight God and ultimately delight our own hearts? If there are gifts that are not are acceptable to God, then doesn't that mean there are gifts that are not acceptable, that are not pleasing? Gifts maybe that are not sacrificial or enthusiastic or willing. So from what God has given you, whether that's a $25,000 a year salary or $125,000, he knows what the gift cost you to give, and he sees your willing heart as you give it. The heart that is willing is a sincere heart, a sincere gift in proportion to what God has given you, it says, according to your means, not according to what you don't have. For some, getting your heart engaged will be a smaller amount. But for others, your income is greater. It will take a larger amount to get your heart engaged. But the point is, God sees your giving as a reflection of your heart. Being willing to part with your precious resources will ultimately reveal your priorities in life. Who's at the throne of your heart? And what's your heart condition when it comes to God? I first met Rachel our first week of school, our freshman year. And we spent the 2 years just being friends. Of course, I put a picture of us with sushi. This is when I first taught Rachel how to roll sushi. And now she rolls it for me. So we didn't start dating, though, until our junior year. And that's when she really started to catch my eye. We started being on the same missions team together, taking more classes. I looked for her in the library, doing all the creepy boyfriend stuff that they do. You know, I really wanted to give my time to her and give my money, take her out, help her with what she needed help on. Using my money, my time, my energy, whatever, wasn't a sacrifice for me. I willingly did that for her. I wanted to get her attention, and I really wanted her heart to be mine. I'm not saying our dating experience or even our marriage now is this perfect willingness or sacrifice on either side. But when our heart wants to be engaged, we're going to do things willingly for the other person. On the flip side, when I'm not willing to do something like, for example, dishes or another chore, I can often make this big scene that, don't want to do this right now. I'd rather be spending my time somewhere else. And now doing those dishes really didn't mean anything because I made more of a scene of that I don't want to do it than actually just doing it and not complaining or arguing. I'm sure you guys never struggle with that, though. You know, instead of wanting to display our love for God and doing it willingly, we just skip in the bare minimum sometimes, or the leftovers. It's easy to be willing to spend money on things that we want. For me, that's maybe some hiking gear or going out to a nice restaurant. But how about a willingness to show the God who created us, who sent his son to die on the cross for us, who paid that great price? How about a willingness to show God a willing heart that we'll give him whatever he asks of us? We ask questions, I've asked questions like, how much do I give, God? Do I give pre-tax or post-tax? Do I give what's in my bank account after I've given my HSA in retirement, or do I give before? Is an international vacation or a cruise too luxurious? How much do I really need to live on? How much savings do I need? Maybe you've had these tensions. I have had too, and that's a good thing. But what it comes down to is this. Are we willing to part with our money? If God stirs in your heart today or this week an amount that he wants you to give so that your heart can be engaged, would you be willing to part with that and say, here, God, it's for you? Or do we look to find excuses or ignore the Holy Spirit's prompting within us, shoving it down? Why did Jesus say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also? Because wherever we spend our money, our hearts follow that. We're willing to give our treasure away to things that build our kingdom, our presence, our vacations, our retirement. But when it comes like parting our gifts, our money with God, something gets tension within us. We hold it back. Do our hearts reflect this willingness to part with our money for God? If God has prompted you to give an amount that may be eye-popping for you, would you be willing? If God's asking you to raise the bar on your giving so that your heart can finally become engaged in it, would you be willing? God's word says, finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. First, there must be this willingness on our part to give it away. But then we must actually follow through and obey and say, here, God, this is for you. Please don't forget that our motivation for giving is not because we want to earn God's grace, not because we need to earn anything, his love, heaven, but because we've experienced the grace of God, because we've received that wonderful gift that cost Jesus everything. That's to be our motivation. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know, when we give, we have a chance to become more like God who gave us his son. God was willing and he followed through. The question is, are you willing? If you say your heart is for God, how about your money? When you see your Maker face to face when your time on earth is done, will you be able to stand before him and truthfully say, God, I gave sacrificially, I gave enthusiastically, and I gave willingly? Perhaps today there's some financial decision that you need to go home and consider. Talk with your spouse or your parents or a trusted friend about it. Are you happy about those numbers that you wrote down earlier? Would God be pleased by that? Or would you be a little bit embarrassed? Giving is not just a matter of money. It's ultimately a matter of our hearts. So the church isn't after your money. God isn't after your money. What God wants from you is simply your hearts. And the way that we spend and give our money away is the most clear picture of who our hearts are actually for. today, make a decision that your heart is going to be for God. Let's pray.